Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
Well, turn with me this morning to the book of Zechariah. I'm going to go to a passage we've been before this morning, but I feel the Lord has put it upon my heart to share today. Zechariah chapter 4 is where we'll be this morning. If you want to keep up with me on the, if turn into the chair Bible there, it's page 1470 is where you will locate that passage. While you're turning, just want to share a few things. You know, the book of Zechariah is second only to Isaiah when it comes to messianic prophecies. It's it's filled with information on future events that we are living in some of those moments now, including the coming tribulation and the glorious return of the Lord. How many are looking forward for the glorious return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? But Zechariah and Haggai both prophesy an encouraging and an admonishing word to the people who have come back from the Babylonian captivity that lasted for 70 years. And they prophesy to them. This gathering took place is a while back, back to the land of Israel, was around 538 BC. So it's been a while back when this took place. But can I tell you something? I think all of us need to keep in mind of this very fact that when Jesus, or when the Father said, "You will go into captivity and you'll go for 70 years," at the end of that 70 year, He gathered Israel back to their land. And I know that we need to understand also that what's been going on in Israel today is the Jews have been coming back to the land, just as the word of God will speak of. What for? For that moment that Christ comes back, that second coming, they're going to see the Lord. And the Bible says all them that are remaining there will believe in Jesus as the Messiah at that moment. I just want to encourage you this morning that what God says in His word is coming to pass. It's been proven over and over again. The prophetic word that's been spoken is definitely something that's going to happen in the world today and in the church. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, it says, "Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me and as a man who wakened out of sleep. And he said, 'What do you see?' So I said, 'I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it, and on the stand seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it and are at the right of the bowl, at the other at it is left.' And so I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, 'What are these, my Lord?' And when the angel who talked with me answered, said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' So he answered and said, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, 'Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, that you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of God came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this temple, and his hands shall also finish it.'" I want you to just meditate on that for a moment. What God has said, God will finish. Amen? I don't know who that's for this morning, but what God is speaking into your life, He will finish it. "Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me, for who has despised the day of small things? For seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we pray once again, God, for your anointing. Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts, Holy Spirit, in this time of the preaching of the word, the sharing of your word this morning. Lord, let your unction, your anointing be upon me, God, to speak what you have put in my heart, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, in 2 Kings, there's a story, and I've mentioned it before, of the king of Syria is looking for Elisha. And the reason he's looking for Elisha is because God was using this man of God to expose the king of Syria's plans when he was coming against Israel. And Finally, the king of Syria sent somebody after he found out. They said, well, it's the man of God. God's showing him all the plans. So he sent a whole army to go get one man and his servant. And we find Elijah looked out, and the servant was very scared. And we find in 2 Kings the story of this in chapter 6. And it says, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, he's talking to his servant because his servant can't see what's going on in the spiritual realm. He says, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire and all around Elisha. In other words, what God's army was way more than what the king of Syria had sent to take out one man. And Elijah said, open the eyes of my servant, this young man, so that he can see the work of God. See what God is doing in the spiritual realm. How many believe God is working in the spiritual realm of our lives? God is working in the spiritual realms of our country, the spiritual realms of the church. God is busy even when we don't see it, even when we don't notice it. God is up to something. And so we find this at that moment. He's up to that. When you ask that prayer, he's up to doing something for you. But the whole idea of this passage is what I want you to understand is that we need our eyes opened. It's time that the church's eyes be opened once again to the power that God builds his kingdom with. Did you know God builds in a certain way? This is God's kingdom, not man's kingdom. God pulled us out of man's kingdom. God took us from living in the dark and brought us into the light. The kingdom of God is totally different than what the world is. God builds his kingdom in a way that God has chosen, not a way that man has chosen. God works in miraculous ways in his kingdom. And God does have a game plan. He does have a blueprint when it comes to building his kingdom. And he's laid it out for us in the New Testament on how we are to build the kingdom of God. And I think somewhere in the line of this duty, and I want to get there here in a minute, somewhere in the line that we've went through in the Church of America, we've got away from God's blueprint into man's blueprint for the church. And then we wonder why there's no power. Then we wonder why there's no true growth. We wonder why the church doors are not just being ran over by people trying to get in this time that we live in. It's time that we remember. It's time that we open our eyes up once again to the power of God. Now, I'm not talking this morning about craziness. We were talking in Sunday school class with Mitch and Gunner this morning about some of the things we call Pentecostal. I've seen some videos, and no wonder people call us crazy Pentecostals. I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about things of a genuine move of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the power of God that genuinely builds a church and what God can do. It's time that we open our eyes up once again and see that God grows and God moves by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is exactly what Zerubbabel was being reminded of in this passage of Scripture this morning, of what God can do and how God moves. And the first thing I want to point out is this, because this happens in all of us today, that God's people are often faced with mountains. How do we go around the mountains? Why do we get over the mountains? Now, if you look at Ezra chapter 4, verse 4, we find a little bit about what the mountain is in this moment that's been addressed to Zerubbabel. And God is trying to encourage him through Zechariah, but God is also speaking with Ezra. It says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even under the reign of Darius, king of Persia. The mountain that was taking place in Ezra and also related to in Zechariah, because they are prophesying about the same moment and the same time frame that's taking place. These two books go together if you really want to read them right. And you get a full picture of it. The people of the land became a mountain to them because they were told to come back from captivity and to build the temple of God. And they wanted to help build the temple, but the people, the Jewish people, refused to let them come in because they knew that if they helped build, that they would be a part of that, saying, it's our temple also. They did not want them to have that possession or that claim that it was their temple. They would have that of a mixed religion. Those that were trying to help, they came out of Samaria and they had several different religions, and God wanted to keep a people pure. Can I say something this morning? God wants to keep his church pure. We find in this moment, because Israel would not let the people of the land help build the temple, the people became the mountain to them. Can I tell you this morning, when a church refuses to compromise, expect opposition. When we refuse to compromise in our walk, expect some opposition from those around us. When we choose to stay true unto God, there will be those moments that opposition comes in our life, because listen, the enemy does not want you to stay true to God. Look at the early church that we find in the book of Acts. They were just a baby church. That church started in John chapter 20 when Jesus said, receive you the Spirit. And he breathed the Holy Spirit on them and they were born again. And then the upper room, when the Holy Spirit came down, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and talked in another tongue. The church was there at that moment early. But that, just because sometimes we think we belong to God, that we will not have mountains, we won't have problems. But can I tell you this morning, when we are saved, when we're serving the Lord, there are going to be mountains in our life that we must overcome. The early church had to overcome several things at that moment. In their church, they had to come over their leaders being persecuted. Their head leaders were arrested and persecuted. There was murder that was told not to preach. If they told not to preach in the name of Jesus, that they would murder them. There was all kinds of things that came against that early church. Riots in the city streets, all kinds of things in the book of Acts that they experienced. The opposition is the mountain that we read about, is what was taking place to this people at that time. Listen, we may not face persecutions yet as a mountain in America, but mountains come in many shapes and forms to even to churches. Churches sometimes have traditions as mountains. Churches sometimes refuse to change and they become mountains. Sometimes it's just that of complacency in our Christian walk. Complacency in who we are as a church becomes a mountain to that church. Declining attendance becomes a mountain, and sometimes looks like without, becomes hopelessness. I'm saying today the church experiences mountains that we may not really be aware of, but there are mountains that come to the church, whether it be persecution or whether it be something happening inside. Today we need to understand that mountains do take place. Every local church has faced or is facing or will be facing a mountain. Every local church. See, because mountains are normal in the life of the church. They are something that comes in our lives individually, and mountains are something that comes in God's people's life or the church's life too. Mountains are there, whether we want to accept that or not. But can I tell you this morning, God sheds some light on this very topic. When mountains are before us, I think about mountains. When mountains come, I don't know about you, but I thank God for the railroad passages that go through mountains. Robin and I, when we was on vacation last month, we took an old steam engine ride all the way up to Silverton, Colorado from Durango. 3.5 hours one way. You get on that train and it's going like this. You know when it stops? 3.5 hours later. And we rode back 3.5 hours. So we had 7 hours on the train going like this. And literally to walk, you had to hold onto the chairs. And I'm going, I'm having a great time. But thank God, listen, there are mountains. I love going to the mountains, but I thank God for those that pioneered and made the pathway through, that made the tunnels through, or the roadways through, or the railroads that went through. And we don't quite understand how long that took and how impossible that looked when the man said, we're going to go through that mountain. I'm going to say today, when we have mountains in our life that come, church, even as a church, it seems almost impossible. It seems like there's no way we can get through. It seems like we might as well turn around and go another direction. Mountains have that effect on us. Sometimes it brings a fear. Sometimes it brings us into that moment of life that we don't know what to do. We must confess it to God. God, this is beyond me. Mountains have that tendency in our life to overwhelm us. And your mountain may not be my mountain, but my mountain may not be yours. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the church, the mountain that a church faces is all of our mountain. The enemy loves to put mountains in front of us. And the mountain this group of people were facing is that they were to build the temple of God. And because they told a certain group they could not help, then they became a mountain to them and refused to let them build the temple that God wanted them to build. The will of God for their lives. So mountains can be so devastating in our lives. Because see, mountains can stop God's people in their tracks. When mountains come into our lives, it can stop God's people in their tracks. Ezra 4:24, listen what it says. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, so it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Can I tell you, at that very moment in those people's life, the enemy was shouting. If you can just get in the spiritual realm for the moment, the demonic, Satan, was excited because the work of God stopped. Why? Because of the mountain he used people to put in front of the work of God. I'm going to tell you, I can hear him shouting when he had Jesus up on the cross of Calvary, the Son of God, and he was thinking it was over. Come on, there was a party on the demonic side. There was a party in the darkness of this world. There was a party of shouting because the mountain it looked like Jesus didn't accomplish. And oh, I'm going to tell you today, mountains can stop God's people in their tracks to keep them from doing what God wants them to do and keep them from fulfilling God's will in their life. God's will for these people was that they build the temple of God. He didn't say, hey, if something comes against you, you guys go ahead and stop doing this. God said, who knows today, tomorrow, and every day in our future, I want you to build the temple. I want you to build the temple. God knew there was going to have some problems. God knew there was going to be opposition. And when the opposition came, they stopped. Listen, in the book of Haggai, we find out something about what happened in the lives of the Israelites. When this happened in their life at that moment, Haggai chapter 1 verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time is not now, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye who dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lies to waste. What is that from Haggai? That's an awakening call from God. They had quit doing God's will. They had quit building the temple. And you know what they did? They went about doing their own things. The work stopped when they faced problems. And then they made their life all about them. Forget the house of God. Forget the fact that we've been in captivity for 70 years and God released us supernaturally. How many of you have been released from captivity this morning? You may not feel it, but when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been released from captivity. The blood of Jesus washed you, and now you're part of the family of God. And here they are. But as soon as they have a little opposition to building the temple of God, they quit the work of God and they go about their own lives. Can I tell you this morning, the Word of God says that you will be offended. I'm not trying to offend you this morning. But the Word says you will have offense in your life. There'll be, I'm going to shock you this morning, there's people in church that are going to upset you. This side's getting it. Okay. There's going to be challenges in our life. And you know, it's sad. Many times when people have opposition in their life, maybe somebody doesn't see it exactly like you do or something, and you swell up and you move back and you just quit doing. You say, I'll have nothing to do with church. I'll go, but I'm not going to be there. But I'm going to say everybody experiences opposition in their life once every now and then. And the sooner we realize we're going to have it, but God doesn't want us to remain. Oh, my word, if I quit every time I got upset, I would probably clean the bathrooms at Bucky's. Boy, they look so nice. And they pay $28 an hour, I think, is pretty good pay. But I'm just saying today, I mean, when we talk reality, things are going to happen. It seems like mountains, and when mountains come, these people that God has sent to build the house of God, they quit working on the house of God. And Haggai says they went and made their life all about them, building their houses nice. They had ceilings in their house. They started building everything for their lives. And they forsook God's kingdom and God's life in His house. Listen, everything that they had accomplished, laying the foundation and even building up it, the foundation till now, became what the Bible called ruins. While my house lays in ruins. All their previous efforts had withered away and became useless. All the work they had done on it had become worthless. Why? Because they chose to quit working in God's kingdom because of the opposition that came. Can I tell you this morning, it's still happening today in the church. It's still happening in the church today. It can happen to this church. Many churches were going strong and now are about to close their doors due to mountains or the devil's tricks, my friend. Transitions, whether they be transitions that are happening, maybe religion or changes that take place or failures or wolves that come in or goats and etc. I'm telling you today, there's a lot of things that happen in the church today that can cause a church to quit going forward. You can be so wrapped up in your past and about yesterday's glory that you don't think about the future and today that we're living in, that God still wants to do a work in the church today, that there's still people that need Jesus, hallelujah. There's still someone out there looking and searching for that person to share the Word of God with them. There's still a need for the light of God in this neighborhood we're living in. I'm telling you today, there's still a work, even though its work started in 53. There's still a work in 2026 that needs to be done. Oh, we can let things, oh, hallelujah, that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. We can let mountains come in and keep us from fulfilling the will of God. Because it happens to every church. It happens to every church, and we got to make our mind up that we're not going to let a mountain get a hold of us. I've got to make that up in my own life. I got to make my mind up that no matter the mountain that comes, I'm going to go through in the name of Jesus. Because I don't want God's work to stop in me. I don't want God's work to stop in this church. I want to see God do amazing things. I'm a firm believer because I read it in the Word of God. He's the same today as he was yesterday, and he's the same forever. Hallelujah. God is still busy, and God is still excited about the house of God, and he's still excited to win the lost. Hallelujah. And disciple those that get saved. Our God still does a work. Hallelujah. I know there's generations that have experienced the amazing work of God, and I'm saying today in 2026, we need to experience it again. Hallelujah. That baby church had plenty of mountains. They were told not to speak in the name of Jesus. They had a problem when it came to taking care of the widows. How many, any of those things could shipwreck a church today? Did you know the enemy was just trying to divide them? That's all he was trying to do. They had a problem when it came to acceptance of Paul. Aren't you glad they accepted Paul? They had a mountain when it came to some of the subjects of the Gentiles trying to make them keep the law like the Jewish people were keeping in order to be saved. They had a challenge of law versus grace. They had persecution outside of the church. All these were obstacles that could have stopped them in the tracks, but they sought God for the solution and overcame. Ezra chapter 5 verse 1 says this: Then the prophets Haggai and the prophet Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel unto them. Listen, God intervenes. I want you to get this morning just for a few moments. I'm not planning on preaching till noon, so y'all can relax. Get this just for a moment. This church or this group of people had a problem. A mountain came to them. They didn't know what to do. What they decided to do, because the opposition, they went home and started building their own houses and forsook the work of God. But God interrupted their peace. He interrupted them right where they're at. And he used the prophets Haggai and Zechariah to come to them and to remind them by the word of God, and to remind them of where the power is, that they're going to overcome the mountain that is before them. Because listen, it takes more than human effort to make a mountain a plain. It takes more than human effort to make a mountain a plain. There are moments in our life that we need to realize just the flesh and our abilities will not cause this to move. Just because we are clever in our thinking, there's something else that's going to be needed in order to see this mountain to become a plain in our lives. See, human resources are powerless when it comes to certain mountains. He told them, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. Listen, they were bound by a king not to build the temple. The word came and told them to shut it down. They were powerless against authority. It looked like there was no way that they could go forward. They would have been many hurt on both sides if they would have struck out in the flesh. Come on, church, today, what I'm trying to say is that when we come to a mountain, we've got to be careful on how we respond to try to remove it. There have been those in the church, local church today, that thought the best thing to do in order for us to go forward is get rid of all the older people. Come on. That's been going on for generations in the church. I'll just talk a little bit this morning. We don't want any of the cotton heads. I'm a kind of a cotton hair type of guy. I don't believe that came from God. I don't believe it came from God. I've heard a preacher stand behind a pulpit and say, hey, there's going to be change. If you don't like it, there's the door. And watch all the older folks that tithe and sweat and blood to build the congregation and the church that they are sitting in today and tell them to get out. I'm going to say that's not how to get rid of the mountain that we're facing in this country today. That's not the way to do it. Younger people leaving due to being tired of waiting on a positive change to take place. I hear that all the time. I'm going to tell you, I love young people, but I got my ways. You got your ways. You need to do my way. No, just kidding. We're all been there. You know what I'm talking about today. I've heard I need to wear jeans and a shirt untucked. I'm going to tell you why I don't do that. For one thing, when I extra large shirt, the shirt untucked goes down to about right here. It looked like I had a robe. But I'm saying today that doesn't make what we're facing go away. I believe there's a mountain before the church today that we must do something besides trying to use wisdom from man and start looking toward God for. Because I believe the mountain that we're facing is going to take nothing more than a move of the Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. It's what is going to make a difference. You know, what goes on in the local church, the mountains, you know, some pastors get tired and resign, tired of the battle. God's flock gets damaged. Church 101 seems to be powerless anymore. You know, I'm going to tell you, there's something more about building the kingdom than just putting warm bodies in a seat. It's talking about building people. Building strong people that know why Jesus went to the cross, know why he had to be resurrected, know something besides grace saved you, to know something about theology, to know something about the Word of God. That's building people, not just to get a head count so the pastor looks good at the district meeting, but the thing is, I've got strong people is what we need to say. I've got people filled with the Spirit, people that know, thus saith the Lord. That's building a church. And that's what we need today, is for the Spirit to move once again. Can I tell you this morning that the Spirit is what we need? The flesh never settles the spiritual. Now, I want you to think about that just for a moment. The flesh never settles the spiritual. The mountain in the church today is not the flesh. The mountain is that we're not going after the Spirit. If we want things to change in the kingdom of God, it's going to take a spiritual change to change it. It's going to take the Holy Spirit. This is what he was telling them. See, it's by my Spirit is what God is speaking of. By my Spirit, why is it so hard for us as Christians to understand that there are things that only God can do? Only God can do. And to do it the way God wants it done. We got to understand that. We got to start living by that. And if it's only things that God can do, then we need to listen to God. Listen, Ezra 5, after the prophet spoke, the people started to build again. The mountains were still there, but the people had an adjusted attitude. Instead of thinking we got to do this on our own, now they realize that God is going to be with them in the project. The Bible says, unless God builds the house, we labor in vain. God's children chose to engage the battle to do God's work, but God was about to empower their efforts. Ezra 5:5 says, but the eye of God of their God was upon the elders of the Jew, so that they could not make them cease until a report could go to Darius. Listen, nothing had changed. The mountain was still there. But the Spirit started to move in a mysterious way when the people started to obey the word of God and God's prophetic word in their life. I'm going to tell you today, I believe the reason the Spirit's not moving a lot in the church today is because we're not interested. You say, Pastor, when you talk about the moving of the Spirit, you're talking about this running and jumping into the baptistry and all. That's not what I'm talking about. Crazy dancing and stuff. No, I'm talking about God moving in our hearts to where we feel the presence of God in the midst of us. Oh, that people, that when people come in and they do not know God, they feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and they come down to the altar and get their life right with God. That is what I'm talking about. Can I tell you, I can change the way I preach. I can preach nice, warm, fuzzy messages and make everybody feel comfortable, but that's not my personality. Because see, I believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I believe that God wants us to do a work. And I believe that work is accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the very catalyst of that. I believe today that we need, when we start to say, God, we get it, we understand it. The people started to understand it, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. And they thought, well, we're going to go and we're going to pick up our hammers and we're going to get our saws and we're going to go back to that location, that foundation, and we're going to look at all the ruins there because we have forsaken the place and we're going to start working on it. You know what happened in the spiritual realm? When they started to listen to the Word of God and believe that God was going to move in supernatural ways, all of a sudden Darius takes a search of the records and they find out where it was written for them to go build the temple. And while they had not authority yet, they just listen to God and start doing that. God moved in a supernatural way in their lives. I'm saying today, it takes more than just wishing the mountain would go. It takes understanding on how a mountain leaves and how a mountain becomes a plain. And it's not by might, but power, but it's by faith in the Holy Spirit that things will take place. Hallelujah. And you come after the Holy Spirit and watch Him move in your life and watch the mountain become a plain. That's what He's talking about here. Because the word comes. You know what the word comes to them is this. I don't know if I got it up there or not. Darius did that research and demands the temple to be built. And he also said this. For those that were opposing them, listen to what he said. He told them that were opposing them to furnish them everything they needed to build the temple. Now that's God. Amen. How did it happen? It's because they heard two guys that were prophets of God. They said, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Church, it's time we open our eyes. We may see, listen, just as Elijah's servant looked out and seen all the king of Syria, his army, we may see what we see in the flesh. But we're not looking at what God has in the spirit, the spiritual realm. He's looking for us. We need to open our eyes and realize the challenges that we're facing, the mountains that we're facing as a church, the mountains that we're facing in our church or in our own Christian walk. The way that's going to become a plain is that we got to start acting by faith and believing God is going to do amazing things. Amazing things. God is able. I'm just, you know, I wish God would just answer everything all at once. You know, like that. But, you know, sometimes He makes us to walk through, show our faith by going through. But as we're walking, He's seeing, my faith is not in what I'm doing, but my faith is in You. And when I start to say, my faith is in You, God, Lord, for the mountains of San Jacinto, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, God, but my faith is in You. For the mountains in my life, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, God. I'm not going to sit back and not do anything, but my faith's in You. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, God starts working in mysterious ways. He moves in ways that we can't imagine. He works in backgrounds that we don't even think about. And we think, oh my word, hallelujah, God is going to do something. My friend, it's time that we have our eyes open and understand how God works, hallelujah, and that he works by those that will walk in faith. And when we walk in faith, he opens doors of opportunities and he gets rid of that opposition so that the mountains may be moved and made plain. This is what took place there. Zechariah 4, 6 and 7 says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountains? Listen to this. Who are you, O great mountains? Who is that? Who are you that opposes the work of God? Is what's being spoke of. Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone and shout grace, grace for it. Church, we often move in the arm of flesh instead of waiting upon the Lord. The arm of flesh. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says this, because waiting on the Lord is the answer. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen, Mary was busy. Mary, in a house full of busyness, was doing the right thing. I want you to understand, we can scramble. As a church, you can scramble. You can do all this to try to move the mountain. But the answer is waiting at the feet of the Lord. Waiting on the Lord, praying and seeking him. Here's the truth of it. Zerubbabel and the people were never once on their own. God was just waiting. Waiting for a moment to speak into their lives, waiting for a moment for their response in order that he could show his right hand strong unto them. San Jacinto Assembly of God, may I say this morning, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit saith the Lord to this church. Because it will be by his hand, and it will be by us seeking him, that God will do miraculous things in this place. Becky, could you just come to the piano. I'm finished preaching, but I'm going to do a conclusion. I just be up front with you. The Lord just been moving on me and this week, and I had about 3-4 different paths to go for a message, and I felt this was the way I needed to go this morning. I believe, church, whether you want to speak it out loud or you've already probably said it to somebody, we have a mountain. But I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that God's saying, come after me. Seek me. It's not going to be by the arm or one-on-one that this church is going to start seeing more people come. It's going to be because we come after God. Oh, we need to step out by faith and do what we're supposed to do. But it's when we start saying, God, this is you. God, we need you this morning. We need you. And I don't know this morning, if you got something of a mountain in your life, I want to encourage you this morning that God is able to take that mountain away.